Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk, the word that popped into my head. Epistemology, which is a branch of philosophy that explores how do we know what we know. So I want to discuss that briefly in context with some recent news as one example, but first to say, further thinking about how that word popped into my head got me to thinking about where does the language come from? Because the literature reflects a people's language. So where does that language come from? So that word came to me because I know mostly English. So where does that come from? So that gets into all the mostly Indo-European word roots, and that English is like 60% language of the Roman Empire. And then I've heard from indigenous peoples that their languages are of the earth, of the nature beings. So their language comes from there. Where does the English language come from? Things to explore. But I mentioned that in context, that it sometimes seems like English, the way literature and English is treated, is that it's like something we bought. It's like a kit you bought at Home Depot, and then you open it up and here's the English, but people don't look at where it comes from. So we get seduced by the literature. We often lose touch with the language. So I think it's good to stay in touch with the language, and where does the language come from, and explore into that. Now, briefly, I'm going to mention the current news having to do with the media and the corporate media, and even a lot of left media, having to do with Russia and Ukraine and the U.S. and the Nord Stream 2 pipeline and all that tangled stuff going on. But as the media reports, that it's blaming Russia, the mainstream media. But how do you know? You read that, but where do they get their information from? How do you know that they know what they're talking about, or do you just believe them? So there's epistemology, to apply the epistemology to any kind of news. Like the news gets presented, and a lot of times it's like experts say or studies show, but they don't ever really say where it comes from. So personally, I explore, and I find some of the best news sources nowadays are respected seasoned journalists that I know of reporting on Twitter. So a few facts to throw into the mix is that in 2021, and this I knew from before, there was a Russian-sponsored UN resolution to condemn Nazism, neo-Nazism, and racism. I think it was 49 countries abstained. Most countries voted in favor of that. Only 2 countries voted against that resolution. Can you guess? When I said this at the post office to a guy talking in the lobby, he guessed Russia and China. No, those 2 countries, U.S. and Ukraine. So that puts a suspicion right now on what is going on, because the Donbass region has been being attacked by neo-Nazis, Western-sponsored neo-Nazis for many, many years, for 8 years, according to Eva Bartlett, who is a seasoned journalist who reported from there a couple of years ago. So it puts a different spin on what's going on. As well, from John Pilger, who is a most trusted journalist, one of the most trusted journalists I know of, at his Twitter page. News you won't read. On Thursday, Putin reportedly offered peace if Ukraine embraced neutrality and rejected NATO's arms. So I'm not defending Putin's attacks. I'm just saying there's more to the story than the news would have you get. And also, good reason, in a sense, good reason for him to attack. Wrong that he would let Donbass fall, creating unacceptable high risks of brutal ethnic cleansing of up to 4 million Russian Ukrainians forced to flee Donbass into Russia. So part of his justification, from the little that I know, is to stop neo-Nazism and to protect the people in Donbass. So that, again, I'm not getting into a whole geopolitical thing because I'm not well read up enough on this to know all the ins and outs, but I get the sense from those bits. And here's another bit from Pilger. This is from another article that he recommended. It did not have to be this lose-lose outcome. A Canadian solution was possible if there had been a modicum of goodwill from Kiev, a federal Ukrainian state with real sovereignty rights for Russian Ukrainians, including, importantly, a real say in Ukraine foreign policy choices. Putin was desperate for this outcome, and he waited as long as he could, but Washington and Kiev wanted confrontation and permanent east-west hostility whipped up by Victoria Nuland and her ilk. They now have this. Ukraine will remain poor, depopulated, illiberal, and militarized. It is a tragedy, but the threatened genocide and ethnic cleansing of Donbass Russians would have been intolerable for the majority of Russians, as it was personally for an obviously angry and distressed Putin. This outcome will bring him and his key advisors no great joy, but it was the right decision to take, according to that article. Now, the other point I'll make is that also pretty much unknown to the masses is after the war on terror, that was rebranded several years ago. So we have not heard anything about Muslims anymore. And we haven't heard about terrorists. For 2 years, it's been the virus. That's the narrative. Suddenly, as that narrative was waning and unraveling and global protests around the world against the mandates, suddenly that narrative is gone. And now it's all the narrative about Russia and Ukraine, which fits in with the U.S.'s, you can look this up, it's called Great Power Competition. So they switched from the war on terror to the Great Power Competition, which, who are the greatest two powers in the world now? Russia and China on the political, geopolitical power scene. So, again, I'm not condoning. I'm sad and angry about that there is war and action going on. But I think before the fingers get pointed, that one do some epistemology and question what you know and where you know it from. And do your own homework. Don't believe me. Do your own homework. Spend the time. I spend hours looking at articles, looking at Twitter pages, making my own decisions from that. So that's my suggestion. So that's sometimes what it takes. And the other key thing, element, is the Nord Stream pipeline, which was about to go to Europe with natural gas supplied, and that would have been a huge disadvantage to U.S. Business opportunities and resource money. So that's why Biden is and the U.S. is about the only word they know nowadays is sanctions, sanctions, and sanctions. Because they have no military strength, so it's all economic sanctions. And basically, so far, that's working because the Nord Stream pipeline is not flowing, from what I know. So presumably, hopefully, there will be some quieting of all this stuff and peacefulness. And another note, whether you like Putin or not, it's worth checking out his speech, which I watched in its entirety. It's about half an hour with subtitles, or you can read the transcript. And from what I've studied of 20 years of stuff, his presentation of the history is totally accurate. And again, I'm not defending him. I'm just saying from what he says, the reason for the attacks, and one of the things he says explicitly, here it is, for the United States and its allies, it is a policy of containing Russia with obvious geopolitical dividends. For our country, it is a matter of life and death, a matter of our historical future as a nation. This is not an exaggeration. This is a fact. It is not only a very real threat to our interests, but to the very existence of our state and to its sovereignty. It is the red line which we have spoken about on numerous occasions. They have crossed it. End quote. So again, that can be debated, that can be discussed, and it will be, or it'll be ignored. But that gives, you know, a reason not to diminish the emotional traumas and all that stuff, but it gives a geopolitical reason for the attacks. And that, for the history, you can look up that, you know, the Cold War was fabricated, and the U.S. NATO has been putting troops closer and closer to Russia for years and years, going against the NATO agreements. So, I mean, how would the U.S. feel if Russia or China had, you know, huge amount of troops and missiles stationed, you know, right in the Pacific or Atlantic, you know, facing the country? I don't think they'd like that for 2 seconds. So. One of my go-to news online web sites for news, for world news, is Russia Today, RT News, which many, I don't agree with everything, but many, many good articles, world events from different angles, and very suspiciously, just as the news was happening with Russia and Ukraine, suddenly, when I go to web search RT News, and I'm not allowed to see it. It's not showing up. And then a day or two later, some of it I'm seeing, some of it I'm not. Then a friend said, in another country, said he couldn't access it and asked me to check. So I checked. And then I get a thing said, oh, there's suspicious activity on the network. Please check this box to that you're a human being, not a robot. Now, try CNN, try Wall Street Journal, try USA Today. You're not going to find that, are you? Very suspicious. Read behind the lines, read between the lines, and do your own epistemology. Thank you. Have a good day. Be well.